From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
It's Red Friday, and it's time for the Chiefs to get ready to play another contest. This time, it's going to be interesting because they have quite the opponent and quite the situation coming in. I'm Ryan, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and your host at RGR Football on YouTube. Please check those two out. And today, we have plenty to talk about. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
You know, I'm just spinning my wheels until they get back on the field. So I'm eager to see what they can do, and I have a feeling that they have a chance to do a lot more than usual.
Yeah, hopefully I think you should be right. The question is what's the Cleveland team going to come in looking like? Because with a new coach, could be a lot different.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, I think the Chiefs are going to see a defense that is turned loose a little bit more. We could talk about Greg Williams in a little bit, but I think the other side of the ball, especially with a rookie quarterback in Baker Mayfield, who has been doing some good things, but to lose both the head coach and the coordinator for an offense that has not exactly been ringing a lot of bells, I think that's problematic for them, and I'm interested to see how they deal with it.
Well, they definitely put their young QB in a horrible position to be in. That's for dang sure. I will say, you know, Baker's a great QB. I'm not sure if you saw the tweet or not or the quote, but somebody at the presser asked Baker Mayfield about Patrick Mahomes, and he said, I really like Myles Garrett, but Patrick Mahomes, based on talent, should have been the number one overall pick that year.
Oh, wow. That's something I hadn't seen. That's impressive.
Yeah. So that's pretty big coming from, you know, especially considering Myles Garrett is his teammate.
Yeah. Hopefully he didn't read that too well, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is, and I think that the Chiefs will be fine. I think that this is a game that I don't see Andy Reid letting them overlook a team that has John Dorsey at the helm. I can't see that. If they're going to have a letdown game, I expect it to be next week against Arizona, but I don't think that Reed is going to let the team have one. But we will see, I guess.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, and that really boils down to where it's at, because, I mean, Dorsey's one thing. He was let go. He didn't walk away from the team willingly. There was none of that. So I don't carry as much, like, circling the calendar for this one because of Dorsey, as I do for Todd Haley, because Todd Haley rode this franchise into the ground, Palco, excuse me. And his departure kind of almost lets some of the air out of that balloon a little bit in order to try to keep your edge, your focus about trying to dismantle this offense in particular. Do you think that they could still get up for this?
I don't think they're going to have a problem getting up for it, mainly because of who they have as their head coach. Generally speaking, they haven't had many games in a read where they've just looked completely lost. They've had a couple. It's generally been the very beginning game of the season. The Tennessee Titans game a couple years ago is the one I'm thinking about. But generally speaking, they don't usually get beat by a team that's worse than they are.
Well, and that's something important, you know. And I like what you said about Garrett, because Garrett is tied with Dee Ford for an 8-way tie for second among sacks in the NFL. And he's productive. He's young. He's got a lot of power. It reminds me, honestly, he and Chubb are kind of cut from the same cloth as far as I'm concerned. It's not the super fast bend the edge type pass rusher that you see from Von Miller, but it's something important.
Well, one thing I do want to say is, you know, we look at what Bradley Chubb has been able to do, and I do think it's interesting, and maybe it was some of the play calling, maybe it was that they had him get some help, but I don't remember Bradley Chubb making any kind of impact in the game on Sunday at all.
No, I saw him chasing, I mean, but there was a lot of chasing going on, but yeah, I don't remember any one particular play where he really had a big impact.
Right, and that's a fantastic thing to hear when you're talking about a left tackle in Eric Fisher, who's been much maligned. So I think that's a great sign for him, and I think part of it is, you know, like we've talked about, I think he feels very comfortable with Cameron Irving next to him, and I think that gives him the ability to not have to worry about getting beat inside because he knows the guy there, and he knows he's familiar with him, and it's a good working relationship.
It certainly seems like it. And, you know, I think continuity is the big thing for Fisher. So if that helps him, then more power to him.
Absolutely. So, and I'm not saying that Chubb is Garrett, but they are similar players in a lot of ways. And I think that's going to help if you can not have to worry about that near as much. Now, I'm not saying Fisher's going to dominate him, but I will say that if he's able to do what he was able to do against Bradley Chubb and maybe allow a couple of pressures here and there, but nothing where he's allowing him to get two or three sacks, Kansas City's going to be in a good shape for this game.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's about limiting, not stopping. He is an impressive athlete. He has a lot of length, and I think that's one thing that can cause some issues for Eric Fisher in particular. But I haven't seen, in terms of his overall numbers, how much he rushes from the other side. But I think that's important as well. I don't think you're going to see the flip-flop that you usually see from some of the high-end pass rushers.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not. It's going to be a good game, I think. I think that Kansas City is going to win, and I think they should win by two scores, if not three. They're just that much better of a team than Cleveland. But really, it's a question of which Cleveland team are you going to see. Are you going to see the Cleveland team that struggled over the past couple of weeks at times? Or are you going to see a new invigorated Cleveland team because they are now free of their old head coach and their old offensive coordinator?
Well, you know, we started out talking about the offense, and we talked a little about Chubb. We had to revisit both sides of the ball, but I think the offense is more heavily impacted because they lost both the guys that had an influence there. And I know that Hugh was trying to exert more influence because he wasn't happy with what Haley was doing. I can't say that I'm surprised that Todd Haley, you know, kind of weaseled his way into doing his own thing, but I think what it gives for their offense in particular and what it means for the Chiefs is a coordination issue. I believe his name is Kendricks, was their running backs coach. He's now their offensive coordinator.
Kitchens.
I think Kitchens, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Kitchens, yeah. But what I think it means for the Chiefs is that this offense in turmoil is going to turn to the run game. And they happen to have a very – very promising young back, a guy that I thought should have been the top back selected in Chubb, Nick Chubb, Bradley's cousin, right? Something like that.
Oh, I figured you would know considering I thought he was a Georgia guy.
Well, I know the Georgia end of it. So Nick Chubb, very impressive running back. They felt so good about him.
Imagine that. You like another Georgia player.
I know. It's shocking. But they felt so good about him that they made a trade to allow him to be the primary, and Carlos Hyde is now out of there. So I expect to see, both from the standpoint that the Chiefs have been really, really terrible against the run this season, and that it's their particular strength, and that the guy who's now responsible for calling the plays, because Greg Williams isn't going to have anything to do with the offense. So the guy calling the plays, it just came from a running back's position. He's probably got to be pretty versed in that. All I have to admit, I don't know Kitchen's history. I expect to see a lot of Chubb kind of down the throats of the Chiefs defense.
Well, and if Cleveland can keep it close and keep Kansas City out of the end zone, you might see a lot of that. But that's the problem, is Kansas City has gotten off to so many quick leads. And you look at what they're able to do this year. They've allowed, I think, 3 points on first drives by teams. And I'm sorry, I don't see Cleveland being the best offense they've faced. They're obviously not the best offense they've faced this year. They're nowhere close to that. So I don't see Cleveland going down and scoring early. And if Kansas City goes and scores a touchdown and then ends up, you know, stopping Cleveland from getting anything more than a field goal and goes up with another touchdown, at that point you're playing from behind. And that is why Kansas City's been so effective, is because they've been able to make teams play from behind and not go up against their running and not have to worry about their running defense near as much.
That's got to be the plan here as well. You know, I don't think that the Chiefs defense, although, you know, Jarvis Landry can get loose. He's a good route runner. He's an intense guy. Njoku is a tough cover. I'm very interested to see what they do with the safeties in Njoku this week. Personally, we'll see if Sorensen arrives and is able to go like in any kind of capacity in terms of man to man, because I think he would probably be the best matchup in terms of size and length and strength. But if not, then I think they probably go with Parker and put Sorensen in the back and let him roam.
That's assuming Sorensen's back.
Right.
But I think that's a big assumption. It was said on Wednesday that he would not play if the game was today. So, although he could be activated, I'm not so sure he's activated for this game.
Yeah, you may be right. I'm just trying to cover the bases here because I want to see what their true options are.
But the funny thing about that to me is you're saying that Sorensen is their best option, and we both know how you feel about Sorensen. So,
yeah.
But we need to flip it over to the other side and take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
All right, Ryan, how does this Chiefs defense handle what they're going to do on offense?
You know, I think aggression is the name of the game. It's not just that you have to get around the edge. And I don't have any inkling at this point that Justin Houston is going to be back or that they needs to be. I think what we've seen from Breland Speaks is some progression.
Well, and on Wednesday he did practice, or he was supposed to practice and then did not practice. So I apologize. He did not practice on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so to me, that means he's probably not playing this week. And honestly, I wouldn't want him playing this week. If he's not 100% healthy or as close to 100% as he's going to get, then you don't play him this week. This is a game that they shouldn't need him to play.
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen progression from Speaks. I thought his game last week really turned a corner in being a little bit more overall, a little bit of everything, setting some edge a little bit better, getting some pass rush. He finally got home, playing with some awareness in his drops. And if you saw the film room, it'll be up. It was up Wednesday night. You should have it by now. It's one of those deals that he actually was paying attention even in his drops and was able to make a really nice play on the fumble. So he's kind of rounding into shape and being able to play, be a complete player. And I think that's really key for him, but also for this defense.
Well, and he still liked to do the wave once he got the fumble. So that was a nice little touch.
You know, the camera's on you when you do that.
Yeah, pretty much. And I honestly, that specific play when he recovered the fumble, what impressed me was how quickly he shot after the ball.
Mm-hmm.
There was no hesitation on his part at all whatsoever. He saw the ball out and he was after it. And that's the whole reason Kansas City got that fumble recovery. You know, you look at this game and you look at what the Browns are going to be able to do on offense. And the question really becomes, obviously, if the Browns can't stop Kansas City from scoring 30, which only two teams have, I believe, this season, and the Browns don't have the talent that those two teams have, I don't see how they're going to score 30 points. I mean, I know Kansas City's defense is bad, but I don't see them scoring 30 points.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, they have been tooling up, and you know, another guy that really is coming on, and I don't know if he's in better shape or if he just understands what he's doing better, but I think Reggie Ragland, I really like what they did with him last week. He looked quicker. He looked more responsive. Still a little bit of hesitation from time to time, but I saw that more with Hitchens than I did with him. And I think pressuring him or using him to create pressure, I think brings another aspect. And if you get not only the outside pass rush, but somebody in a rookie's face like that, he is fairly good when pressured, but it relates what they can do offensively to the shorter routes, to the hot reads. And I think that's good for the Chiefs defense overall.
I agree. And you know, like we talked about a little bit earlier, if you can get them to where they have to pass the ball, the Chiefs defense against the pass is actually doing a lot better than they have in the past. The question is, you know, who are their safeties going to be? I would like to see Sorensen back because I think that he would be an upgrade over what we've seen from Parker. The problem is I don't know that you're going to take Parker off the field if you get Sorensen back. And to me, that's a problem. But, you know, if you can make them to where they have to pass, I think it actually really plays into what Kansas City does very well. And I think that with the linebackers they have, the outside linebackers they have, and the pressure that they're able to get, and Seth actually pointed this out in his article on Thursday as well, or on Wednesday as well, that Breland Speaks, part of the reason he's been so effective and part of the reason the Chiefs pass rush has been so good is that Bob Sutton isn't willing to drop him into coverage. I mean, there's a reason because he's not good at it. But I think that also helps the pass rush as well, because they're staying more aggressive at that point, and they're not dropping eight.
Yeah, and that's fair.
So,
well, why don't we take our second break? We'll switch over, and we'll talk about what the Chiefs can do or what they should be looking for against this Cleveland defense and the guy who's calling it. So, amongst all the upheaval in Cleveland this week is that I don't think everyone quite realizes that Greg Williams is a guy who's had a pretty rocky road in the NFL the last few years. And to see a guy who was fired because of a scandal that involved, and I'm not going to get too far into the details because it's, I don't want to dredge up ghosts of the past, but it was something where players were encouraged and rewarded for injuring other players.
Yep.
And it's not something that should be forgotten. And the fact that he runs a defense that is fairly athletic, and now that he's the guy in charge, there's no brakes on this guy. So I am definitely making sure that I am aware, and I hope that the team is aware, of just how that aggression will show itself and how they need to protect themselves.
I do think that's an issue, but I do think also that you've seen that this team isn't going to be bullied by anybody. Cam Irving, you know, for as well as he's played, one of the things I've liked about him the most is his aggression on the field and his ability to say, I'm not going to let you get away with that crap.
Mm-hmm.
In multiple different situations, he is not going to let people bully this team. And that's an attitude that you need to have. You absolutely have to have that on the offensive line. So I think that's a good sign for the offensive group in general. And then you watch, you know, you watched last week a Broncos CB get up in Tyreek Hill's face and take him to the ground. And who knows what happened when he's on the ground, whether or not he punched him or shoved him or was just talking or whatever. You watched Tyreek Hill get up and you saw the entire team get involved. It wasn't just Tyreek Hill. It wasn't just a couple of players. It was the entire team. The entire offense ran over to the spot and the officials got involved really quickly and it got taken care of, and Andy Reid, and this is something else I saw in Seth's article, I will say on Wednesday, if you haven't read it, you need to go back and read it from The Athletic. Andy Reid takes Tyreek Hill aside, and I saw that part of it. But what I didn't see was after Reid gets him to calm down, he's basically got him with his arm around his neck, and he's just calming him down and calming him down and calming him down. And the next play, Tyreek Hill goes in and is running a, I don't know if it was a post route or a nine route, but he was going to the house, and had Mahomes had time, it would have been an easy touchdown. He had his man cooked, but there wasn't enough time to make that read. But the point was Andy Reid calmed the player down and then said, okay, here's your opportunity to go make him pay for it. So even the coach is there.
Yeah. And I think that's important. And, you know, Tyreek Hill, as well as the other wide receivers, you know, I feel a little bit bad for them because, unfortunately, they're not going to get to play against Terrence Mitchell because he's not going to be available for this game. And I just see dollar signs there. Oh, really? Okay.
According to our buddy Jeff Lloyd, he has played well this year.
Yeah. I'm not going to get into that. The guy who's played well for them this year is Denzel Ward, a rookie who is making all kinds of plays all over the field. So please, Terrence, come back. I'd love to see you in action.
Yeah.
But Ward is a guy that, and I'm not, you know, to the point where I think the Chiefs have to do any game planning around him, but they do have to be aware of where he is. He's a good athlete. He's on the thin side. I would honestly try to put some body against him. You know, I would look to get matchups so you could get Sammy on him. He has made a number of plays. I think he's got three interceptions on the year. He's doing a very good job. And I think what we've seen to this point, and I think the Steelers game kind of pointed it out, that he's still a rookie and the other guys are able to be taken advantage of as well. And I think this passing game has a lot of room to maneuver this week.
It should. And, you know, with Sammy's game on Sunday against the Broncos, I think that's going to open up things for Kansas City down the stretch because at this point, Sammy hadn't had a good game. He'd been over 100 yards once, but he only had one TD on the year. Three touchdowns isn't great, but it's a lot better than he was at, and he showed that he was effective. And I do think he's going to get more targets throughout the rest of the season. And regardless of what you think about how many balls can go to different players, I do think there's enough balls to feed Kelce, Tyreek, and Sammy Watkins, because you only need one or two or three passes a half to, you know, Conley or Harris or, you know, Kareem Hunt, because generally Hunt's going to be carrying the ball, although he is great catching the ball at times too. So I just think that there is enough passes to go around to keep those three going very well. And yeah, you may not see a lot of passes to Conley or to Marcus Robinson or anybody else that plays, but I think there's plenty of passes to go around. I mean, Mahomes has attempted usually about 30 passes a game. And okay, so if each one of those guys gets nine targets, there's three passes left in the game. If they each get eight, you know, there's six. I just think that there's enough passes. I think there's enough balls to go around, which I was concerned about earlier in the year. But with as effective as Mahomes has been and as effective as those players have been, I don't think that's a concern anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, I have to say that I think the pass game is the way to go to attack them, at least initially, because I think that you can get more done that way. They have a couple of guys that are really intriguing. Ogunjobi up front, I think, is changing the way rushing has to attack them for the positive on his part. There are other guys around him that I think can get run on quite a bit, but he and Joe Schobert at the second level, that guy is just impresses me all the more every time I watch him play. He's making a ton of plays. He is excellent in coverage at the linebacker level. He does have a couple of issues tackling. So maybe that's a way to get there, but I think you're going to see him move around the ball quite a bit. And I think some of the misdirection type plays, especially in the running game, are going to be something that the Chiefs need to use in order to get that rolling and make it pay off.
Possible. I will say that Schobert didn't practice on Wednesday.
I hadn't seen that.
So, and neither did Demaryius Randall or Rashard Higgins, who is a wide receiver that, according to our buddy Jeff Floyd from Locked On Browns, Baker really likes as a wide receiver. So,
yeah, it seems they have a connection there.
Yeah.
Somebody I would keep an eye on.
And their center looks like Treader also did not practice. So the Browns are dealing with a lot of injuries. Kansas City has some injuries. Doesn't seem like Hitchens is going to play this week, more than likely. If I'm Kansas City, I hold out Houston. And even if Barry thinks he's healthy and ready to play, I hold him out in this game. And obviously Zombo's probably not going to play. So, I mean, I think you can still work with what you have.
I agree. So let's get down to it. Predictions. I know you're not going to let me go last, so I'll go first.
It's fine. I'll go first. It's fine.
All right.
Kansas City wins this game. I don't think that's much of a surprise to anybody that I'm saying that. I do think that they get close to 40 points. I'm going to go 41-20 is, I think, what I'm going to go for my final score right now. Mainly because I think Kansas City has shown that they have improved on defense. And I do think that, you know, like we've talked about, since they lost their offensive coordinator, they have a new guy running the show, and they're just not all going to be on the same page, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm with you. I do see the Chiefs winning. I think the dog pound is still a place that can help its team out. I think it's still a formidable environment to try and go play. And I think the Chiefs do put up a lot of points. I agree with you. I'm going to go 38 for them, but I do think that their Achilles heel still is the run game. And I think they have a rushing attack that I think will be emphasized because of the coaching changes a little bit, and is already like fourth in the league. So I'm looking for Nick Chubb to have a big day against the Chiefs defense. I think they're going to get to the 24 mark. So I have it 38-24 Chiefs. Folks, let us know what you think. Hit us at the Locked On Chiefs on the Twitter account so that, you know, we can get it going. We're going to have all of our predictions, as long as a slew of our guest predictions that'll go up on Chiefs Digest on Sunday morning. Right, Chris?
Yep.
So we'd love to hear from you, and we want to know where you think this is going, and then we'll move on to Arizona when we're done here.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back shortly after this game on Sunday.
Yeah, look for an RGR. I'll be live on YouTube post-game that evening before Sunday Night Football, and we will have as much as we can from the locker room as immediately as we can. So look for the podcast that night as well. Thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.